At this time of the year, people are speaking about Christmas. They are speaking about Christ. And this week, we started studying Colossians, where Paul is addressing the problem of the people in Colossae who were saying that Jesus Christ had his Holy Spirit just at his baptism, and this Holy Spirit left him when he was in Gethsemane. And Paul addressed that in Colossians very well. So I was thinking, at this time, many people are speaking about Christmas for gift and so, something like that, but do they know Christ, who he is, and what has been said about him in the Bible? So I thought that we can look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, what is said about Christ. But there are many verses. I could not cover all of them. And those I have taken, we can't read them systematically. So you will see the verses, but we'll just grab a few words that show what is the most important thing in them. The text that I suggested to Stephanie is Luke 24. Luke 24, when the Lord Jesus Christ was on the road after his resurrection with a few disciples, he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophet and the Psalms concerning me." So the Old Testament speaks about Jesus Christ a lot. And when he was there, he was showing that what I am doing, I am accomplishing what has been said about me in the Old Testament. So I will just cover his lineage, his birth and places where he lived, his character, his ministry before the cross, his suffering, his work of salvation, his gift. I think that you will be patient with me. It is already 35, so I will go beyond 12 o'clock. The Lord Jesus Christ lineage. In the Old Testament, in the text of the New Testament is in blue, and the text on the Old Testament is in black. Genesis 3, "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.'" And in Luke chapter 2, we can see at the verse 23, "Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Eli, the son of," and they give the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ to the end, "the son of Adam, the son of God," at the end of that verse. You see that. Jesus Christ is descendant of Abraham. Genesis 13, we can see, "I give to you and your descendant forever, and I will make your descendant as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendant also could be numbered." And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, we see the book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, and so on. So you see what was being said in the Old Testament is there. He had to be of the tribe of Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Genesis 49, verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, it is said that, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 3, Judah begot Perez. Judah, you see, they speak about Judah, begot Perez and Sisera by Tamar. Perez begot, and it is the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ is given there, as we have seen in Matthew. Jesus Christ is of the family of Isaiah, of the family of David. In Isaiah 11, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and so on. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 68, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, David, the son of Jesse. And the Jesus Christ's birth and the places to stay have been mentioned in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. Jesus Christ's miraculous birth has been announced in Isaiah 7. It is said, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign to Mary. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Virgin birth, this is a miraculous birth. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his murder, Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, remark that, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. That is in the New Testament. So what was said in Isaiah has been fulfilled there. Jesus Christ's place to stay, it is Egypt, Galilee, and Jerusalem. In Hosea 11, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. Out of Egypt, it is said there. And in Matthew chapter 2, when he arose, he took this young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. So Joseph and Mary went to Egypt, what was announced in Hosea. In Isaiah 9, nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. Galilee of the Gentiles. And in Matthew 4, verse 12 in the New Testament, now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum. Capernaum was the city of Peter. Peter was there, and today there is his monument there for Peter in Capernaum. And the Lord Jesus Christ went to stay there. So he stayed in Galilee. Zechariah 9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey. And in Matthew 21, we have this. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion. They repeat what was said by Zechariah in Matthew 21 verse 4, as you can see, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus' character also was being announced in the Old Testament and confirmed in the New Testament. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah 11, chapter 2, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and so on. And in Matthew 3, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. He was without sin and did not sin all his life. In Isaiah 53, we read this, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. No violence, no deceit in his mouth. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, we can read, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. So what has been mentioned in Isaiah is repeated here in New Testament. We continue with Jesus' character. He was discreet. In Isaiah 42, verse 2, he will not cry out nor raise his voice. It is said there, he will not cry out nor raise his voice. But in Matthew 4, verse 16, yet he warned them not to make him known. So discretion. And at verse 19, he will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. So he was very discreet. Jesus Christ was humble. In Zechariah chapter 9, it is said, he is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, as we have seen, called the foal of a donkey. Humility. So very, very humble. But in John chapter 13, verse 4, we see this. His garment took a towel, Jesus with his disciples. After the supper, he rose from the supper and laid aside his garment, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. He was washing the feet of his disciples. What a humility there he has shown us there. His ministry before the cross also, it has been mentioned in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well. His ministry prepared by a messenger. In Malachi chapter 3, we read this, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And when we go to Luke chapter 1, verse 76, we can read this, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. They are speaking about John the Baptist. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, his ways. Ministry marked by deliveries. In Isaiah 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. That was said in Isaiah 61. And in Luke 4, verse 18, we can see this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. This is the Lord Jesus Christ who is reading the verse that we have in Isaiah 61. He is reading in the temple to everyone to show that, and he say to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptance year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. He showed that he was there to fulfill what has been announced in Isaiah 61 otherwise. We continue with his ministry before the cross, dedicated to preaching. We have seen that in the previous verse, but we can see that in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3, it is said, he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his path. And John 18, verse 19, so Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one that is God. You know the commandment, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. So he is teaching, and all his life he was teaching as well, so as you know. His ministry was characterized by suffering, and this was announced in the Old Testament and shown also in the New Testament. Jesus Christ was rejected. In Isaiah 53, we have this in the verse 2, he has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, and so on. And in John chapter 1, verse 11, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. So, rejected by his own, otherwise. Jesus Christ was betrayed. It has been announced in the Old Testament as well. Psalm 41, we see this. Even my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. And in John 13, verse 18, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. And at the end of the verse 21, one of you will betray me, he says that to his disciples, for example. So he has been betrayed by his own. Jesus Christ was sold. It was announced in the Old Testament as well. Zechariah 11, we read this at the verse 12. If it is agreeable to you, give me my wages, and if not, refrain. So they waited out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. And we see that in Matthew 26, as you know, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So what was announced has been fulfilled here as well. And Jesus Christ was abandoned by his own. In Zechariah 13, verse 7, we read this, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts, strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. It is said there. And in Matthew 26, we know that Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. And at the end it is said, then all the disciples forsook him and fled when he has been arrested. So you see that. So that was being announced in the Old Testament has been fulfilled here. Jesus Christ was silent as a lamb. In Isaiah 53, verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before it is shearers is before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In Matthew 27, we see this at verse 13. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Jesus Christ was condemned by the authorities. That was announced in the Old Testament and confirmed in the New Testament. In Psalm 2, verse 1, "Why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed," saying, and so on. And in Matthew 27, "When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death." It is, you see, the authorities have condemned him here. And Pilate did that also later. Jesus Christ was beaten, mocked, and insulted. In Isaiah 50, verse 6, "I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting." And in Matthew 27, verse 27, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' Then they spat on him and took the reed of struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified." Jesus Christ was given to the number of criminals. In Isaiah 53, we read this in verse 12. "Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." He was numbered with the transgressors. You know that he was between the two robbers. That was the Old Testament. Now in the New Testament, "With him they also crucified two robbers, one of his right and the other on his left." So the scripture was fulfilled which says, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." So the scripture that we had in Isaiah. Jesus Christ was stripped of his tunic. In Psalm 22, verse 18, "They divide my garment among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." And we see in John 19, verse 23, "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garment and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic." So you see the Old Testament was fulfilled here. Jesus Christ's hands and feet were pierced. In Zechariah 13, "And one will say to him, 'What are these wounds between your arms?' Then he will answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. And in John 20, verse 25, the other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. They were speaking to Thomas, who wasn't there. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the prints of the nails and put my fingers, my finger into the prints of the nails and put my hand into the his side, I will not believe. That means that he has, Thomas saw how his hands and feet were pierced. And he said, I should see that. Jesus Christ was watered with vinegar. He was given vinegar to drink as he was on the cross. In Psalm 69, verse 21, they also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. And in John 19, verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. So everything accomplished. Jesus Christ was abandoned from his Father. In Psalm 22, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. And in Matthew 27, now from the sixth hours until the ninth hours, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? And that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Again, Jesus Christ had his side pierced, hands and feet were pierced, but his bones were not broken. In Zechariah 12, we read this, and I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitant of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced, yet they will moan for him as one moons for his only son, and grieves for him as one grieves for a firstborn. And in Psalm 34, verse 20, he guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. And John 19, verse 34, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out, for these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. No one of his bone shall be broken. And again, another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Jesus Christ was buried in the tomb of a rich. In Isaiah 53, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. So, with the rich at his death. And in Matthew 27, now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. So you see, he was, we were in Israel, here in on the left, my left, where I stand there, it is the entry, the entrance of the place, the rock where they put the body of the Lord Jesus. On the right, where Anastasia is the coffin. I don't know if they are real or, but they told us that this is the coffin that where you see that they are for rich people. It is, they are not for poor people. Jesus Christ's work of salvation. He voluntarily offered himself. In Psalm 40, this, then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is written, is within my heart. And John 10, verse 17, therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Himself, he voluntarily offered himself otherwise. Jesus Christ brought our sins for we who believe in him. In Isaiah 53, we can read, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all, of us all. Iniquity of us all. And in 1 Peter, verse 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. We came on this morning. Jesus Christ justifies us. In Isaiah 53, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And in Romans 3, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ's work of salvation is the sixth point we are going to go over. He gives us peace. In Isaiah 53, it is said, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. In Romans 5, verse 1, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ triumphed over death. In Hosea 13, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction. Pity is hidden from my eyes. And in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54, so we can see death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? Or Hades, where is your victory? So it is an accomplishment of what was being mentioned in Hosea. Jesus Christ is victorious over Satan. In Genesis 3, we have seen that, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and so on and so on. And in Psalm 110, it is said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And in Hebrew chapter 2, verse 8, you have put all things in subjection and his feet. For in that he put all in subjection and him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things but put under him. Jesus Christ of salvation, Jesus Christ is risen. In Psalm 16, verse 10, you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. And in Luke 24, verse 36, now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. So he after his resurrection, though, he didn't stay there. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do that? Why do that arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, but while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence to show that he was resurrected. Jesus Christ is raised to God. In Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." And in Ephesians 1, verse 20, which he walked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Jesus Christ's gift is the last one. Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit. In Ezekiel 36, verse 27, "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgment and do them." And Joel chapter 2, verse 28, "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." And Acts 2, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In Jesus Christ grants his blessing. In Genesis 12, verse 3, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you." And when we look at Act 3, we can read this in the verse 25, "And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you, first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you." What can we conclude? I have taken 10 minutes of your time. It is not, I just beg your pardon for that. The gripping story of the life and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, foretold in the Old Testament and fulfilled in the New Testament, reveals the great mystery of God's boundless piety and love manifest in the flesh for us. The presence of God and man at the same time, in the same person, presence of the one who is eternal and who can both die an agonizing death to offer eternal life to those who have killed him, that presence is hard to be fully understood by the human being that we are for now. By his death, he paid once and for all for the sins of those who believe in him. So Jesus Christ, through all his life on this earth, by willingly leaving heaven, coming on earth to live as human among sinners, and giving up his life for his sheep on the cross, by fulfilling his mission perfectly, before going to stay at his Father's right hand, where he intercedes for the believers, all these indicate his love for humankind beyond any measure. Furthermore, he sent the Holy Spirit to help believers to overcome their weaknesses on their travel for sanctification, even for their understanding of his teaching. He sent the Holy Spirit to help us to overcome our weaknesses. Finally, he gave the assurance that he will return to take the believers and live with them with his Father forever, eternally. So this is Jesus Christ, our God, our Savior, and our hope for eternity, deserve our praises and gratitude forever, individually and in congregation, as we did that this morning. Thank you very much.